Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome to the program. A Monday after your Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you had a good time. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is the News Talk and Information Show that knows what it's talking about. We're here until 1 o'clock every weekday morning, and 4 a.m., that's 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're with you tonight, of course, nationally, and we'll be until Friday because the, Thanksgiving week is over with. Between Christmas and New Year's, we do take a few days off. But nonetheless, we're with you here, and we invite you to join us not only on the radio but online at philhendryshow.com. We've got a live streaming video cast of our show every night. We also have Cyber Monday in the works right now. And I don't know, did you update the website, bud?
Probably not. Whoa.
I guess that's a no, huh? We have Cyber Monday in the works, folks, and this is what you do, okay? And let me just look at the website. I think you said it's under, there's under 2 hours left for Cyber Monday. If you go to our website between now and midnight Pacific time, I know it's after midnight on the East Coast, but between now and midnight Pacific time, so between now and 3 a.m. on the East Coast, if you purchase $19.99 worth of stuff from our shop for every $19.99 worth of purchase, is that what it says? A minimum value. Any order placed before midnight tonight with a minimum order value of $19.99 receives a free Phil Hendry Show shot glass, okay?
You're going to get a free shot glass.
Yeah, you get the free Phil Hendry Show shot glass, and that's by just going and purchasing an order minimum of $19.99. So what is it now? It's under 2 hours, so we have to update the site to say that, you knucklehead.
Well, it's, I mean, people can figure it out. It said midnight.
Well, that's true. All right, so head over to philhendryshow.com and get a free shot glass with your $19.99 minimum purchase, right? That's kind of our Black Friday, Brown Thursday, Green Saturday, whatever the hell it is, you know, and Cyber Monday. As a matter of fact, we had been offering this at midnight last night. We suddenly realized, wait a minute, now it's Cyber Monday, so let's just keep right on going. So anyway, that's our little offer to you guys at philhendryshow.com. Get a Phil Hendry Show shot glass with your $19.99 worth of purchase, right?
Yeah, well, if they buy like a pullover to get Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, that right there automatically is a shot glass.
That's right. Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt is above $19.99. So
how much is that, like $200 or something?
No, it ain't $200. It's, you know, it's reasonable. All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Speaking of Black Friday, a successful Black Friday it was, $52 billion. $52 billion, I think, was the figure that I saw that was spent over this Black Friday weekend by American consumers. It was, by any yardstick, a smashing success. And doing a little bit of research over the weekend on Black Friday, on the economy, and what it means to national security and basic neighborhood security, was the Citizens Auxiliary Police with Jay Santos joining us. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is simply a auxiliary of citizens interested in securing, obviously, neighborhood and community. And taking a peek, as you say, Jay, over the shoulder of police to make sure they're not missing anything. You guys do not have actual powers of arrest.
Not to the extent, Phil, that we are able to, arrest an individual and put them in a so-called county jail. But we do have, and we do exercise our constitutional right to a citizen's arrest. Which is what we will do.
Now, you're located in the South Bay of California, but there's Citizens Auxiliary Police. So-called forces around the country?
Well, we do. We have citizen groups. We have the Gator Brigade in Florida. There was a simulated police in New York State. There's the Range Riders in Texas. The Beaver Battalion in Oregon. Different groups of American citizens interested in not only making sure that we have low crime rate, but that we are also socially, that we're looking out for each other. And I think that's where it begins, Phil. I think crime begins when we don't socially, we're not going to look out for nobody. You know?
All right, now what did Black Friday, why did Black Friday interest you?
Black Friday, I was first approached by Subcommander Gleason and Bill Ballard, who's a member of one of our Citizens Auxiliary Agency, the Keystone Agency, which is in Pennsylvania. And they had seen numbers like the one that you just gave on your program here a moment ago, Phil, of $52 billion.
Billion dollars.
That we thought was rather shocking, given the fact that we have a national recession. There's a worldwide global recession, if not depression, underway. And economically, there's a lot of countries that are sort of stressed, as well as ours. We had seen that number, and I immediately went to Major Elvis Newton, who is the founder and coordinator of a lot of the operations that we're going to engage in, and I asked if we might not go out to some of these outlets, some of these retail areas, and talk to some of the people who are in line. I know that we had a very good opportunity this weekend because there were a lot of people in line.
A lot of people at a lot of different places beginning on Thursday night.
Right, standing in line waiting to get in.
Exactly, and all through the weekend.
Exactly. So I wanted to find out why people were, it would seem, were either, I wouldn't want to say they're hoarding money, but I wanted to know what was the situation with money in some of these households where we have a lot of people, and you've heard them, Phil, and it's on television and in the news, a lot of people are singing the blues about how they don't have any money. Which I don't doubt, but then what are they doing all of a sudden, you know, with all this money? So
what was the initial thinking as you're going into this? That you mentioned the word hoarding.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm going in. I didn't know. I think we formed some opinions coming out. I don't want to discuss with you a little bit. I use the word hoarding because I think that there was some of that going in before we went over to the different, you know, Allen malls and all this. Going in, we were not really sure. And, of course, I was, myself, I wanted to keep an open mind. But coming out of the experience, we found that we do believe that there was some hoarding. We do believe that there were some individuals who had money, didn't want to talk about having money.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I just want to let people in on who you are, Jay. And where are you right now?
We are right now, came back to our substation. All right, here's a great example of what I'm talking about. I was just handed this, some memo from Major Ellis Newton. It is Major Elvis Newton's feeling that in coordinating this weekend and asking people, the people would say to us, why do you ask, and that kind of thing. It's always kind of a red flag for me. You know, when we would go up to people in line, say, at any one of these stores and say, we understand that there's a recession and there's a very bad economy. What are you doing here? And we would immediately get, not always, we'll immediately get, you know, kind of a defensive, well, what business is yours? Major Newton put that together with the other information we collated, and we feel that, yes, there has been a substantial amount of dishonesty, if you will. It's very difficult to call it dishonesty. I don't mean to put a negative spin on it, but dishonesty when it comes to household accounts. And
So you guys have concluded, based upon the research and the people that you talked to this weekend, that people saying that they don't have enough money, they're not being honest. They obviously do, but they hoard it for things like Black Friday?
Yes, absolutely. In other words, people are not as economically in distress as they say they are. When we ask one woman, what are you doing here? And
so let me interrupt you. I'm sorry, Jay.
Go ahead.
Did you ask people, what are you doing here? Is that how you put it?
The question we asked, we would say, well, you know, there's a recession on, there's a bad economy, there's not a lot of money, there's not a lot of, you know, everything's kind of bad. What are you doing? You know, we'd say, what are you doing here? What is this about? It is a little confusing, and we'd get people saying to us, why do you ask, or what business is it yours? I would identify myself, Citizens Auxiliary Police, and if they still resisted us, then we would say, all right, we're not going to make an issue out of it right now. You know, we'll come back and ask you some more questions. because I didn't want to make an issue in terms of making any citizens' arrests.
Well, what are you going to arrest somebody for anyway, Jay? I mean, they're standing in line. They're going to go into a store. They may not or may conform to what you guys think is someone who is hoarding money or not hoarding money or someone who is in economic distress or not. But what are you going to arrest them for?
Well, we're not going to arrest so much as detain and get some more information because there's something off. If someone says there's a recession, if someone says my family's hurting, I don't have no job, I don't have no, you know how everybody's saying they don't have no job? Well, they got no job. What are they doing standing around at Best Buy, you know, and they're going to go in and get some, I don't know, some fan that fits on their hat or some ridiculous, you know what I'm saying, or some, you know, some additional drive for all their, you know, I don't want to say porn, but I mean, you know how people are. And
people have all kinds of needs. I don't want to judge their needs, and I certainly don't want to say that they're spending money frivolously. Your question is simply, are people lying when they say they're in economic distress and then turn around and spend $52 billion on Black Friday? Is that it?
Yes, that's it, and there's a lot more to it. It's not just are they lying, but just how much are they holding back on, you know, and how much money do they have, you know?
And you were told, by the way, when you asked people this question, they asked you what?
Well, they would just say, you know, who's asking, and we found that to be suspicious. We found that to be suspicious. When I ask someone, what are you doing here when there's a recession on, and they go, who's asking, right away, of course, you're going to ask yourself, okay, what's that about? Why are they not answering a question?
There's a lot of reasons for that, but let's talk about it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I'd like to know some of the reasons.
All right, well, we'll talk about it. 877, hold on for a minute. Jay Sanos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. 877-876-PHIL. All of that money, all of those people this weekend, the Black Friday sales were on and people were spending money. Where did all the money come from? That's what the Citizens Auxiliary Police was trying to figure out this weekend. Is there really a recession on? Are people really broke? Or are people hoarding or holding back? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445 is our number as we talk here about Black Friday on this Monday night, our first live show after the Thanksgiving holiday weekends. We're glad that you're joining us. We are live here from the El Pacifico. On the line is Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police out of the South Bay in Southern California. And Jay, we'll take a phone call here in a moment, but the question that I would have for you, just so you can clarify for us, well, you're out there this weekend doing a survey?
Yeah, I would say it is a, for the most part, Phil, I would say that what we were trying to do is ascertain information. We were not doing any enforcement per se. If people gave us a song and a dance, of course, that's a red flag right there.
And what do you mean a red flag? What does that mean, a red flag?
Well, if I, for instance, asked someone, we went to different Black Friday sales where the lines were significant. And I would say to an individual, what are you doing here, considering the money is tight? And they gave me some song, you know, what business is it of yours? Or, you know, that's a red flag. And so, you know, I would continue to ask questions. And obviously, you know when people are hiding something from you. So I put that down in the information that we were collating as dishonesty. And so, you know, the conclusion you have to draw is that there's a lot of dishonesty when it comes to the, you know, this recession, because people obviously have money, are not saying they do, and that's, you know, that's dishonesty.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I suppose for my listeners, the question would be, do you have more money than you're saying that you do? But then again, I don't know whether or not, you know, I don't know that people are being dishonest. Here is Joe. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanos. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Could you speak up, sir? Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Jay, can you hear me?
I can hear the gentleman, yes, sir.
Yeah, my question is simply this. When you're out conducting this survey, and you use the word detention, possibly, if someone wasn't honest with you, what would be your grounds for any detention?
Well, I think that the grounds would be along these lines. The country's in a great deal of distress economically, and yet, let's say, for instance, it was you. The country's in a great deal of distress economically, and you are not being totally honest with your household finances, meaning that, we don't have the right information because you're holding on to your money. And, whatever, putting in a can out in the backyard. I don't know what you're doing with it,
Well, I guess my whole thing is, if I'm earning it, which I do, I work very hard.
I know it's kind of hard to understand, but it has to do with sort of the social connection between money, crime, economy, so on and so forth.
Well, I certainly understand the correlation between money and crime as I am in law enforcement. I still don't understand legal recourse for detention because someone will not answer a question from someone who would like to be a law enforcement.
Well, I don't want to insult you, but maybe that's why you do what you do and I do what I do, And
well, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
What are you doing, Jay, that's any different? You're not even a licensed police officer.
Well, here we go again. What I'm trying to do is pick up the slack, all right? And a guy says to me, I say, what are you doing here? Well, that's none of your business. Okay, right away, that's a red flag. Now, as a police officer, you should know that, sir.
Well, I have a legal standing and a legal reason to ask those questions to someone.
Right,
It's basically... I want to know curiosity in your case when you go out and ask these questions.
As a Citizens Auxiliary Police member.
And,
what's that?
Dress up like I want to be a policeman and have a little light in the phone, that kind of stuff.
Do we do what? Do we have a blue armband which identifies us as Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we will go down the line as we did this weekend and say to consumers, If the country's in such bad shape, what are you people doing here buying all kinds of, crap, basically? I mean, it's a good question.
What the officer's asking is, what do you mean by crap?
Well, if we, all of a sudden, everybody's at Best Buy buying, video games, what's that about? I thought the country had a recession going on. See, that's suspicious. And as a police officer, I would think this gentleman would be, suspicious about it.
Well, what is suspicious about it?
Exactly. Help me here.
Well, it's suspicious if someone says they don't have no money, and all of a sudden they come into money. Don't you think that's a little suspicious?
Well, I know where I live, typically people work very hard, and they save money in anticipation for a thing.
What are they talking about, a recession?
For their family.
Well, then there's no recession. See, that's where, that separates, I guess, what I do from regular cops. Because...
Well, that's what I meant. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm not saying anything other than this gentleman's a police officer, and they have a certain level at which they can't get any... You're not going to be thinking any deeper about it. But I think more deeply. See? So it's something to think about, for you to think about. But I thank you for calling, and hope I helped you out.
I have one other question while I got you on the phone. You did mention that you have groups in Florida. And do you have any groups in Georgia?
All right, we got to get going, but thank you very much for your call, sir.
Yeah, we have to go. But thanks a lot, and good luck to you. And
I hope you heard that police officer was, and I do have to take a break, that police officer was very skeptical,
Well, I don't know what to say to someone who has limited ability to understand what it is I'm trying to do. And what we're trying to do in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Phil, is to find out what's going on. Just what's going on. If somebody says there's a recession and they have a lot of money, and I want to know what's going on, because does that mean that all of a sudden, wow, did you rob a bank? No, of course you didn't. Well, or do you have money and you're saying that you don't have money?
Well, what if the whole country is lying about the fact that they've got money, and the whole country is lying about that, and we actually do have a lot of money, and there's no recession?
Well, then we've got a problem.
Well, what's the problem?
The problem is that the whole country is adjusting its thinking and banks are adjusting their lending practices, and companies are adjusting the way they do business, because everyone says they're broke, and what they're not. So, or it's a select few people who have a lot of money, and they're going down and buying all this stuff, and the rest of us are standing there looking at them going, where'd you get all the money? And they're like, none of your business.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is the country really more, do we have more money than we're saying? Because look at all the bread we spent on Black Friday. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Black Saturday, Black Sunday, too.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL on the line with me here. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking about the Black Friday sales that just happened. A lot of money being spent by Americans, $52 billion. That's a lot of bread. Speaking of spending money, why not come to our website, philhendryshow.com, and spend a little bit of money. In fact, if you buy $19.99 worth of stuff, that is a minimum purchase of $19.99. You get a free shot glass thrown in until midnight tonight, Pacific time, on the West Coast. So you'll get a Phil Hendry Show shot glass with your $19.99 worth of purchase. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, well, basically, the $19.99 of the money.
I understand $19.99 is $19.99 is money. So with your $19.99 purchase, you get a free Phil Hendry Show shot glass. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us here. And we have some more phone calls, Jay. The questions I know are going to get into some areas of your constitutionality, of your right to ask these questions and so forth. You and I have been down this road before since you are a auxiliary police agency. Can you give me some legitimacy so that people are forewarned when they call in and ask about this?
Well, you're absolutely right, Phil. We have discussed about this before, and it's always surprising to me that people don't seem to understand that I got a constitutional right to citizens' arrests, just like you do. Now, we are not a police agency. I would not be a police officer, not that I don't admire police officers, but I think there's too much politics involved. What we're able to do is to interdict the crime before the crime happens. If someone's standing in line and they want to go and buy a lot of really expensive stuff on Black Friday, and we're supposed to be in the middle of a recession, that tells me they have a lot of money. Why are they lying about the money they have? Are they trying to, you know, are they trying to commit bank fraud or something like that? I mean, I don't know.
Bank fraud? I mean, so they have a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean there's a crime being committed.
No, it is. No, you're right. But why wouldn't you want to answer? If I say, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, most Americans are flat on, let me just say it, most Americans are flat on their rear end. They don't have no money. What are you doing here? And they go, what's it to you? That, to me, is a very insolent and insulting way to...
They may think that your question's insulting, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We have Bill on the line. Go ahead, Bill. You're on with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, it's not an insulting question.
No, I know it's not insulting, but when you say, what are you doing here? I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Hi, Jay. I think it's a very insulting question. You have no right to ask that question. For one thing, you're not going to get any statistical evidence from an answer to the question because you're asking shoppers. You're not asking the people that are sitting at home that can't make it to the mall because they don't have the time. And not everyone is broke. 10%, 15% are broke. They're not the shoppers. So why
$52 billion was spent. And why is it rude for me to say, what are you doing here? What are they doing there?
Well, what were you doing there? They were shopping.
I'm asking.
And you were poking your nose into their business. And you've got no constitutional right to do that. And they have no.
I have a right to go. I have a right to stand on a sidewalk. I have a right to stand on a sidewalk, don't I?
Yes.
And then I have a right, if I'm standing on that sidewhat, I can look at you and say, what are you doing here?
Who the hell's business is it? But why is it any of your business?
And they have that right, but still, it's a red flag. It's a red flag.
It's not a red flag. You've got red flags coming out your butt, I guess. I'm sorry.
That's very funny, sir. That's very amusing, sir, but the fact is, it is.
That's not a red flag. That's a person offended by your question gives you back a slightly offensive answer. Whose business is it? It's not yours.
are you telling me the United States, the Department of the Commerce, they don't have the right to ask a question?
They might be making frivolous purchases today, but in a good economy, they might be making many, many, many more frivolous purchases. So you can't, you have nothing statistical to go on.
That doesn't make no sense.
You're just wasting your afternoon asking questions.
That don't make no sense.
Weird. That's really weird.
What's weird about asking someone, where'd you get the money when the country's in a recession? I think that's very pertinent.
Why don't you ask some girl why she's dating this guy next to her? I mean,
it has nothing to do with the security of the... I'm interested in security of the community. A girl dating, unless it's of a different race...
And what value is it?
Whoa, what is that supposed to mean?
You ask a rude question and you expect a polite answer and a statistically proper answer when you're only asking shoppers. You're not asking the 15% that can't afford to be at the mall. Give it a break.
The 15% that can't afford to be at the mall. The 15% that can't afford to be at the mall are the people that I would expect would not be there because they can't. That's what I'm trying to say.
You shouldn't be interviewing the people that can. If the people that can spend, maybe the people that are out of work will have work. But you're making it. Trying to lay a guilt trip on them.
You're confused. You're really confused now. I mean, you need to put your head
confused.
In a bucket of water.
You're wasting your afternoon. I'm waiting only 5 minutes talking to a moron.
You're all in the heat.
Hold on for a minute. The gentleman is making a point here. This is a very good question.
When a guy says to me, and I say to him, in the middle of a recession, the worst recession we've had since the Depression, I say, what do you think you're doing? And he looks at me like, what's it to you? That's suspicious, okay?
Why isn't it suspicious when you look at that guy and you say, what do you think you're doing?
It's not, because look at the recession we're in.
What if he said, I'm trying to lift us out of recession? How's that? Would that please you?
Well, why did we go into recession in the first place? Why weren't you spending so we wouldn't go into recession? What were you doing, hoarding your money?
Maybe if
the guy's hoarding his money.
So many jobs overseas by regulation and taxation.
Yeah, sure.
We wouldn't have it. Yeah, sure.
What are you talking about? The guy's got.
Jeez, you're weird.
Wait, you're pushing buttons on your phone, sir. I mean,
pushing buttons on my phone. I'm afraid I'm pushing.
Yeah, I just heard you push. You're pushing. No, you're not pushing my button because I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about.
You know what you're doing.
Okay.
You're wasting afternoons in the mall. Enjoy.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. I think the frustration of this gentleman is that, on the one hand...
No, hold on, Phil. There's no frustration of nothing. That guy doesn't understand because what we're talking about is something that is of a level of a high sophistication. In other words...
What is sophisticated about it? You're telling me that you are suspicious that people are spending so much money in the middle of a recession, and so that means that they were hoarding their money... Okay.
Yeah, and that means that had they spent their money before we went in a recession, that we might not be in a situation what we're in now. That's the whole point of what the Citizens Auxiliary Police was doing this weekend, and I think what Major Elvis did was trying to get through, on all of that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Henry Show as we talk here to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Here is Vince. Vince, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. This Santos, I want to say, why do you need to ask these questions? Did somebody hire you? Did the store operator hire you?
Well, this is something that Major Elvis Newton requested.
Who requested it?
Major Elvis Newton. Major Newton.
Is that? Oh, well, I'm sorry, but no one's required to answer anybody unless there's a legal reason. Huh?
Well, see, you're right, but if I say, as Major Elvis Newton had said, if you ask someone, where'd you get all the money, and they go, blow it out your you-know-what, you got a red flag, you got a problem, see?
Well, I don't agree, because I think you're very much prying, because I work for the bankruptcy court part-time.
Yes, sir.
And I see lots of people coming in bankrupt. They have to disclose everything in a legal proceeding.
Of course.
And the debtors, but they don't have to disclose it to you.
I'm not asking them to give me their... I don't want their bank account. What I'm saying is, if the country is broke, then in a can in the backyard and then busting it out when Black Friday rolls around. What's that about? I know, but that means one other thing. We're not broke.
Well, what do you mean, Major Elvis Newton?
Major Elvis Newton.
Did he direct all of you to take these clipboards down to the mall and start asking these questions?
Yes, because Major Elvis Newton believed that if people are lying about the money they've got, what else are they lying about? See, we might have a problem on our hands. And you guys who work at a bankruptcy court would be well advised to take tips from Major Newton on these procedures. Because they would, I don't know what you'd find funny. The country is in a big, we got a big problem. Major Newton knows that. Do you?
Well,
I don't think so.
Let me tell you, if a person is, filing for bankruptcy and they're doing it under fraudulent purposes, they will get discovered.
That's nothing compared to what Major Newton is planning.
Well, nothing. I'm just telling you, I don't understand what your purpose is, because, people...
Do you know what Major Newton is doing, right?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he gets his authorization from the mall operator.
Do you know who he is? Wait a minute.
No.
Do you know who he is?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's even relevant. It comes down on you. Why are you asking questions? You could get accused.
Right. That's exactly right. Nobody needs to know who Major Elvis Newton is.
Well, I need to know who he is.
Yeah, I guess you do need to know who he is, because he's the guy that told you to go out and...
Phil, you can laugh if you want to, but people are jumping out of buildings because of this economy, and I'm trying to keep that from happening.
Listen, Vince, thanks so much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. I think what we're encountering, I didn't mean to laugh, but who's Major Elvis Newton?
Yeah, well, who is Major Elvis Newton? In other words, if people understood who the man is and the impetus behind him requesting that we go out and collect this information. See, we live in a world, Phil, where the average man is given a pass sometimes. And I was trying to say, if it's a recession, then how is it everybody's standing in line buying washing machines and shoes and thong underwear, and all of a sudden, it's $52 billion? That's troublesome. That bothers me, and that's what we need to find out about.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we'll take a break here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the Black Friday sales. How did they go so well? How is it that they were so successful? How is it that people spent so much money when we're broke, when we are in the middle of a recession? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We'll get back to Jay Sanis in just a second. Ron Tarner is joining us. And Ron is Dr. Ron Tarner in Denver right now. Ron, how are you doing?
Brilliant, Phil. Very happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah, and we want to talk to you next hour. You were with your son?
No, my son Josh was at the Best Buy. He was in line at a Best Buy for one of the Black Friday sales on Saturday, and I came to Denver for the Charger game, and was an ex-girlfriend of mine that took him and was trying to recreate something from Fatal Attraction. I thank God that we got him back.
All right, I want to talk to you about this. Your son was in line with this woman and then apparently was abducted?
Was abducted, yes. And let me tell you this. This is a woman that I used to date.
All right, we'll talk to Ron Tarner in a moment. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are talking with Jay about the economy and certainly the success of Black Friday over this past weekend. And, Jay, you find it very suspicious. That's what I'm gathering here. It's suspicious that people have as much money to spend. It's suspicious that people are all of a sudden busting it out when we're in the middle of a recession. I get all of that.
Absolutely. It's suspicious, Phil.
All right. Now, when you stop and you talk to people and you say to them, what are you doing here? Do you find that question rude?
I don't think it's rude, Phil. I think it's very direct. I think in law enforcement, when you're on a front line of law enforcement like, you know, we are. And
well, you know, you're not really a cop, though.
I understand that I'm not really a cop in the sense that you think I'm not a cop. But believe me when I tell you, we're the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're here as backup. You've heard of the term backup. I take it you've heard of the term backup. When a police officer calls for backup?
Yeah.
Well, we are backup. I mean, we're not the backup he calls for, but we are backup, you know, and what we're at.
But you're not the backup that he's calling for. He's calling for another duly licensed police officer.
We are backup in the sense that when they leave the scene and everything is done and they've done everything they're going to do, well, maybe that's not everything that could be done. Now, the same holds true, I think, Phil, when you're preventing crime. And when someone says that they're, you know, they don't have no money, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got money on Black Friday, and they're buying iPads, and, you know, they're buying iPhones, and they're texting, you know, they're texting sex messages. I mean, how embarrassing is that? And so I think that, you know, we really have to look into. And
well, what is embarrassing? I don't understand what you're saying. They're buying these vital items. Everyone needs a phone.
Well, everyone needs a phone, but not everyone's got to go buy their iPhone so they can send a send a sex message. And if we are in such terrible shape in this country, economically, and we've got people out there, let me go buy an iPhone so I can go and send a picture of my penis somewhere, like you heard what that one guy said, what he done, or that one guy did.
You're talking about Congressman Wiener?
I'm talking about this.
Okay, are you trying to tell me this is why people are spending money? See, so in other words, I don't even want to get off on that, okay? The reason why I was asking this question, okay?
Well, but you know that they're sending pictures of their penis and this kind of thing. And we're in the middle of a recession.
The two don't really necessarily go together. Hey, we're in a recession, so why are people sending pictures of their penises? You know?
I don't think it's funny. You know, I think it's a crude... I think it's a bad statement on people.
Okay, fine. But when you're stopping and you're asking people questions, you don't think that's a rude question. I've had people say that they think it is, and I've had people say that they believe that it is just as it's just as rude and perhaps just as ignorant as the question that was asked or the response that is given to you guys, which is it's none of your business. So hold on, I want to go to another phone call here. This is Charlie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, the gentleman who's on the phone right now, this Jay Santos, you recall when you and your Citizens Auxiliary Police had gone to Lincoln Savings in Los Angeles, and you wanted to know about people who were there panicking, as you put it. You recall that?
Yes, sir, I do. I do recall that.
All right. And at that time, I was there with my wife because we had heard the bank was going to close. I was directed by you and one of these other so-called auxiliary police officers you said to spread it. Do you remember that?
We told you to spread, sir. Spread is when you spread, all right?
I know what you meant by spread. You wanted me to put my legs and my arms out on the wall, and you were going to frisk me, and I told you to go to hell. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir, unfortunately I do. And at that time, we had to make you spread.
Well, you not only did that, what you did was you manhandled me bodily. And I called the Los Angeles police, and by then you were gone. So I'm calling you again to find out where you're located.
I can't tell you that, sir.
No, I don't think that you can tell me that, because you know that if you were to tell me that, I would send police over to where you are to arrest you for assaulting me.
We did not assault you, sir. I asked you to spread it, and you didn't spread.
I find that to be insulting as well. I'm not going to...
No, hold on for just a minute.
Hold on. I want to finish what I'm saying.
No, I want to, Charlie, this is Phil. I just want to say, did you tell this guy, this gentleman, this Charlie, you told him to spread?
You never heard of spread. I've never heard it put that way, no.
What do you mean by spread?
When you tell a guy to spread, you're saying put your hands on a wall and spread. Spread it. Spread out. Now, you wouldn't have believed this, Mr. Henry. I was at this bank, and this idiot was telling people that he told his men to spread out. And when I said, what do you mean by spread out? He says, that's what you do when you're a cop. You spread out.
And apparently you don't know anything about being a policeman because one of the things you do is you spread out.
What does that mean, one of the things you do is you spread out? And you're telling a guy, why were you frisking this guy?
I was frisking a gentleman You know, first of all, he said I had no right to be down there because I was creating a panic, which is absolutely absurd. I was down there to find out what was going on with my bank. You were down there to cause a panic, sir, and get everybody riled up about the bank so they close it down. All I did is ask you to spread. I just want to make sure where everybody was, so I asked you to spread it. Well, I took grave exception to that.
I would, too.
What's to take exception to?
To tell somebody to spread? I don't like that. I don't like the way you say it, okay?
That's what, that's exactly what I said to him. And then he's telling his men to spread out. You've got spread on the brain, friend. That's your problem.
No, I don't have spread on the brain. If you mean bisexual or something, you know,
I don't know what you mean by it. I don't know what you mean, but I know who this man is, Mr. Henry, and if I ever find out where he is, then yes, I would like to have the police talk to this man.
Well, if you put your hands on this guy, Jay, you're way out of line.
I'm not out of line when a guy's trying to cause a riot. I wasn't trying to cause any such thing. I wasn't trying to cause any such thing. I was down there to see how my money was. And when you...
All right, we got to take a break. Jay, thank you very much.
I'm glad you hung up on that guy because he...
And I'm hanging up on you, too. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Ron Tarner joins us next hour to talk with us about this adventure that his son was on over the weekend because of Black Friday. Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show every single night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere to get you to where it is you need to be, whatever that is. Actually, what the line is, we go places other talk shows can't go to, but we do, I think we do like to take the audience places they can't get to ordinarily. And some nights we do a really good job of it, and some nights we do a really, really good job of it. All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Next hour we'll have our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and, of course, Robert Leonard. And we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. 1 hour is left in our Cyber Monday sale. If you'd like to get a free shot glass, a free Phil Henry Show shot glass, and these are a beautiful thing. If you've seen our shot glasses on our website, just go to our shop and you can see a picture of it. We have less than 1 hour to go on Cyber Monday. So if you want a free shot glass with every purchase of $19.99, the minimum value of your order should be $19.99. I'm misstating that, but you go over there and you'll see it. You'll get a free Phil Henry Show shot glass. It's our Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Brown Thursday,
Brown Beret.
Brown Beret sale. And
Black Students Union.
And Black Students Union. There. We covered it all? Great. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner is an astronomer with the Cloverdale Observatory in Mountain Meadow, Colorado. He is a frequent contributor to our program. He is also a father of a young boy who he has joint custody with, along with his wife. And Ron is gracious enough to be with us on the phone here this evening to talk about his Black Friday experience in between going to the Bronco game and going to actually giving a lecture, Ron?
That is correct, Phil. I gave a lecture at the University of Denver over the weekend. That is correct.
Okay, and then, you know, with your son, so you had an action-packed weekend, and on top of that, you and Josh were at the Black Friday sale.
Well, actually, what I found to be very interesting was this Black Friday sale was over at the Cherry Hill Mall, and we had decided to get in line, Josh and myself, and a young lady that I had dated for a while, her name is Sherry, and we were in line over there at one of the last Circuit Cities that's open, and we were going to go in because there were a series of games there that Josh wanted to get, and I wanted to get see what they had in the way of Android phones, because I know there's a couple of new apps out for Androids. So we're in line, and I realize that I've also got to go to Denver for this Bronco game because there are going to be some colleagues there. So I asked Sherry if she would stay with Josh, if they would stay in line, and pick up whatever it is that they were going to pick up and get whatever it is that I needed, but I had to leave. And
all right, now she's who is she?
She's an ex-girlfriend of mine, a very nice girl. We stopped dating, but she still wants to be around, and I understand that. And I don't have any real interest in her to that extent. But if she wants to be around me, that's fine. But there's some things that I figured, well, you know, I'm with my son Josh. I also have to go and do this lecture. I need to go to this football game because we're going to have a lot of colleagues are there from the East Coast. So I said to her, would you come and stand in line with Josh? And you can go into the store and purchase. And I gave them a list of the things that I wanted, and Josh wanted some things. And I gave her a credit card. I know what I did is I gave her my bank card so she could charge that. So I left, and as I was leaving, I saw that a man in line had fallen. I don't know what was wrong with him. Either he had a heart attack or he had a stroke. I have no idea. But the people were walking, and Josh and Sherry had stopped to see what had gone on.
Okay.
And meanwhile, they're losing their place. So as they're standing and they're watching this man as he's fallen to the pavement, and I think one or two other people, the other people are still moving up in the line. And I said to Josh, and I was almost at the car, I said, you're losing your place in line. And I'm pointing, and they didn't understand me, so I had to come all the way back. And I said, you're losing your place in line. And I went over to the man that had taken their place. It was actually a man and a woman. I said, I'm sorry, terribly sorry, but you took my son's place in line. And so they let them back in. So this is all finished, right? I get back to my car.
No, hold on for just a minute. There was a man who had fallen and had a what? He had a heart attack?
There was a man... You're talking about when they moved up in line.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a man who had fallen in the line, and somehow it had a... I don't know what was wrong with him, but he had fallen down, and there were a couple people ministering to him, but they moved up in front of Josh and in front of Sherry. So I had to go and deal with this. I said, look, you're losing your place in line. And then I got in my car, and then I took off for Denver for the lecture and for the football game. And
when did you decide, not decide, but how long were you going to be away?
Well, I was going to be gone till Monday morning, this morning. And that was Saturday night. So they were going to be overnight or in the store, and then I would see them this morning. And
all right. You know, I'm disturbed by the story, okay?
Why?
I'm disturbed because your son is left with an ex-girlfriend who wants to be around you, but you don't want to have anything to do with her.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Well, you don't want to be romantic.
I don't want to be involved. Yes, I don't want to be involved with her. I don't mind her if she wants to hang around.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, don't you think that this girl is interested in being with you?
Well, look, I needed someone to look after Josh, because I was going to the Bronco game and I was on my way to the to this lecture, and she wants to come over. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
I don't know. It just your son is with you part of the time. He's with his mother. You want to be with him.
Look, Phil, I'm a good father to that boy, and I resent any implication.
I'm not saying that you're not a good father.
I resent any implication that I don't take care of that. Look, you know as well as I do that Nancy wants that to be the case. She wants to have full custody, and we have had this fight, and I don't think I'm not talking out of school. She knows this is true. What I'm saying is that I needed to get to the Bronco game on Sunday and the lecture, and I told Josh, you stay with this lady, and I introduced them. And
see, he doesn't even know who she is. That's the part that was bothering me. And that you're the kid's spending the weekend with this woman, standing in line at a Circuit City.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Phil? Until you have kids, you don't really know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I was a stepdad.
No. Until you have kids of your own, you don't really know what you're talking about. It's believe me, as a parent, we've got a million things we have to do. So I left him with this woman. Her name is Sherry. I know who she is, and Josh knows who she is. And it's a good thing that I had turned around. They almost lost their place in line. Now, I get back on Monday, and I found out that she had taken him on some joyride, you know, to that amusement park there in Nevada at State Line. I said, you can't do that. And that was the argument we had. But Josh said he had a good time. That was the only thing that was wrong with it.
She took him on a joyride. First of all, you're leaving your son with a woman that he just met. She takes him on a joyride to the State Line roller coaster. You're standing in line.
If you're picking a fight with me, Phil, it's not going
to
work.
No, I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just trying to figure out how this weekend, this is a weekend from, does his mother know?
His mother's got nothing to say about it. Okay, his mother's got nothing to say about it. The thing that angered me was as this man collapses on the sidewalk and everyone is moving up in line except for Josh and Sherry, I had to go back and intercede on their behalf. People are rude. And
people are rude that they took the kid's place in line and they took Sherry's place in line, but the fact that your son and this girl held back to see if the man was okay, you don't find anything wrong? Do you find that bad, or?
To find that what man was okay?
The guy that collapsed.
Well, the guy, is she a doctor? No, she isn't. Is my son a doctor? No, he isn't.
No, but I mean, isn't it a natural thing if you see someone collapse in line?
This is Black Friday. I want to explain this to you, Bill. This is the biggest sales weekend of the year. I know you don't like it, and I know you're not interested in it, but it is the biggest sales event of the year. And it only comes around once a year. And you better have a better reason for losing a place in line when some of the greatest sale prices in the history of this particular chain are being offered. You better have a better reason for losing your place in line than I wanted to sightsee some guy that was laying on the sidewalk that the ambulance was going to, they were going to have an ambulance. And
well, did anybody know that at the time is all I don't know, you know.
Believe me, they're going to get an ambulance, and even if they didn't, there's nothing my son could do about it.
See, in my opinion, and
no, Phil, trust me, I had to get to two very important meetings, and I told them, get into the store, get back to the car, get home, and unless you're watching every second of every minute of every day, people are going to disappoint you. And that's what happened. I had to turn around and tell them, move up in line.
Because they had stopped to watch a man who had collapsed on the sidewalk. I don't think that's unusual. I may be crazy. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Dr. Ron Turner about his Black Friday and his weekend. And, boy, I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of people. I have not talked to anybody with such an action-packed weekend. He leaves his son with an ex-girlfriend. Somebody has a heart attack in line. We'll be back. We'll talk more about it. 877. Wouldn't you guys out there, wouldn't you stop and help the man, even if it meant losing your place in line, or is it just me? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number. And we have on the line with us here Dr. Ron Turner. He is in Mountain Meadow, Colorado, where he is the head astronomer. He's working there at the Mountain Meadow Observatory, I should say. It's in Cloverdale, Colorado. You were in Denver over the weekend. My question is, well, first of all, did that man die? I mean, and let me get people up to speed. All right, let me get people up to speed. You were in line with your son and with your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend, to go into one of the stores on Black Friday, and a man collapsed in line, and your son and your girlfriend lost their place in line as they hung back to see if the man was okay.
Well, Phil, no, that's not what. I don't know if they were seeing if the man was okay. They were hanging back just to ogle the situation. Now, my son's not a doctor, nor is Sherry, and so they stood there and looked as this man lay on the pavement, And meanwhile, they're losing their place. Now, other individuals were stepping over this man's body. And
stepping over this man's body. So in other words, this man has had a heart attack or a stroke.
Let me enlighten you to something, my friend. If the man is dead, then it doesn't matter. You might as well step over his body because you're going to lose your place in line. If he's not dead, I'm sure someone has called the ambulance.
And who's called the ambulance?
Someone from inside the store.
And well, how do you know that?
Because, Phil, I've been to enough of these kinds of... Someone inside the store is going to see that's what happens when someone collapses or someone has a problem. Someone in the store is going to go and do something.
Well, you don't know that that's the case because you don't really know what's happening inside the store.
I know that what you're trying to do now is you're trying to, and I don't understand, but you're trying to interfere with a father's decision. And
no, I'm not. I'm not trying to do that at all, Dr. Turner. I'm not trying to interfere with your decision. I'm simply saying that you asked your son, you know, your son loses his place in line.
See what I mean? You're stumbling over what you tried to say. You're not a father, and until you are a father, you don't know what you're talking about. And I say that with all due respect because I do like you, Phil.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to Tom here. Tom, how you doing? You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner.
Pretty good, Phil. How's it going tonight?
Yes, sir. Good, sir. Thank you.
As far as losing your place in line over someone's life, whether they're alive or dead, and how about the respect for just the human that's there in need? If you're really valuing inanimate objects that much that you're going to worry about, you know, someone else on the ground, I think as a person,
well,
you're pretty weak.
Well, what are you going to do? If you're not a doctor, you're not going to help him. So
well,
what
you
are you?
What about? I was going to say. You know, what do they call it? You know, pulmonary resuscitation.
You're talking about EPR.
Yeah.
You could do that, but if the man, you can do that, and you can get AIDS. You want that?
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, you can. There's a lot of different things you could do, or you can. What are you going to do? Once a year, these sales. You know what, you two guys, I don't know what planet you guys come from.
Well, what planet does a guy come from when you see a man collapse on a sidewalk?
The guy died. He was dead. So you're going to stand there with your cell phone calling for an ambulance for a dead man?
Sure would.
That was my point. You would.
Yeah, because
well,
there's
I don't
nothing in this
that.
World that's worth someone else at least trying to save the man's life.
Wait a second. He didn't. He was already dead.
So...
He was already dead. He was already dead. Well, you know something? Yes, within a few minutes, but not if you're waiting for an ambulance to get there. And in the meantime, I have a, well...
You got a meeting to get to, I understand.
The man to the curb and I'll beat you
no.
a piece of garbage?
No, I didn't give the guy the heart attack. I didn't give him the stroke. I didn't kill him. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get into Circuit City and get an Android phone and get out of the place. And somebody going to blame me for killing somebody?
But the point is that you got upset with your son and your girlfriend and apparently some guy in line who took your son's place. Frankly, I'd probably get upset with the guy too. But the fact is, you were more concerned about your son's place in line than this man.
How many times have I got to tell you guys? He was dead.
You know, I don't know.
There's certain things called respect.
Wait a minute. Are you guys hearing me?
You didn't know he was dead at the time, Ron, is what my point is. You made a find out later.
What do you mean I made a find out? Your grammar is atrocious. And
I'm trying to spit out what it is I want to say here. You found out later the man had died. You didn't know it at the time.
I let me tell you something. That guy dropped to the cement like a cement bag. He was a dead man. Ooh. I could tell it. I could tell he was a dead man. And this guy on the phone is saying, you're saying to me, once you know he's dead, go ahead and pretend like you think he's alive and what? Go through a big song and a dance to impress people? Not me. I don't do that. I don't play that game.
Wait a second. Are you trying?
Being for 8 years of college, you don't have the English of a doctorate degree. You sound like someone who dropped out of high school.
Excuse me, sir, but Mr. Henry was the one who said I made a had a. Mr. Henry, you're... It's not me. It's Mr. Henry.
No, I think you are also. You're fracturing.
What words did I not pronounce correctly, or what phrase did I not
grammatically, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Was it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See,
what
now,
have I done? What
now,
are you?
Now all of a sudden, English is correct. You're definitely striving too hard to.
I think you're hallucinating. I think you're hallucinating. No, I think you're hallucinating. I think what's happened here is I have logically put together why I'm not. This is the kind of thing that really drives me crazy.
Look, at all I'm saying to you, Ron, you want to call my show up and you want to talk about how your son almost lost his place in line and your ex-girlfriend is to blame, and I don't know why it is you're leaving your son with this woman, but all they saw was a man who was lying. I would think you would feel good that your son stopped to see if he could render assistance.
Why do I want to feel good about a little boy who's too dumb to know? How does my son render assistance to a guy who's had an aneurysm? Wow.
Huh?
What's my son going to do for a guy that whose blood vessel blew up in his head? And that's something
first
that I
said heart attack, now it's aneurysm. You don't even know,
I don't know what he had
about.
Well, what? Yes, I do.
First
it's the
you
same
said
thing.
It was a heart. You said it was a heart attack. Now it's an aneurysm.
It's the same thing.
Different things.
No, they aren't. It's the same thing.
No.
No.
Are you guys
talking about a blood vessel that breaks in the brain? A heart attack.
Are either one of you guys
a heart attack?
It's this, you know, heart attack is when a blood vessel busts in your chest. Ain't that what it is?
Ain't that what it is? That's what the man's talking about, okay? Ain't that what it is?
No, he's not. This guy's nitpicking because I was right.
All right, hold the line. I've got to take a break. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. I really do, and we do have to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you're in line for a Black Friday sale and a man falls on the pavement and needs assistance, are you stepping over him to keep your place in line, or do you hang back to see if you can't help him? Dr. Turner got upset with his son and his ex-girlfriend for doing just that, hanging back to see if they could help the man while they lost their place in line. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
I didn't understand one thing you just said.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us as we talk about this Black Friday episode. There was one other episode like this, Dr. Turner, in West Virginia. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not. I didn't even know if it made the news.
No, not the one that you saw in Denver. This was in West Virginia where a man died in line.
I would imagine, Phil, it's not an unusual occurrence, given the numbers of people. Statistically, I guess you're going to have people who are standing in line. These are the weather conditions and so forth. And I think you should expect it, as well as when it does occur. You want to keep in mind not only the person that has been, that's no longer, you know, the one that's dead, but also you also have to keep in mind that you're in line, you're there to do something. And I'm sorry the man's dead. But I'm not dead. My son isn't dead. And here's another very interesting fact. I don't see them shutting down Circuit City or Best Buy or any of these stores. Are they shutting them? Is Circuit City dead? No. Is Best Buy dead? No. So I'm not dead. As long as they're alive, I live. And
I understand that, but I think the question here becomes how important is it for me to stand in line for a sale when a human being has just died, and, you know...
No, you've already asked the question, and I understand that that's... But he's dead. What don't you get about dead?
And I get a lot about dead. I understand what dead is. Dead's dead.
Bingo. Give the man a cigar, yes. I don't mean to be... Phil, I'm not trying to be callous.
Well, it's coming across as just a little bit callous. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Tara on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Tara.
Hey, I just want to know, I mean, Christmas is a season of caring and kindness and all that, and you're more concerned about the price you're going to get on some item versus another human being's well-being?
Well, Tara, if you were listening, I don't know, but I want to get a good price if the man's already dead, and he is dead, so that means that I have to, I'm going to think about the money that I'm going to save because he's dead.
You know, because there's he's dead. As resuscitation, and maybe you could have been there to help him. You could have been the one to call 911. People in the store may not have known what was going on. I personally have worked retail, and Black Fridays are beyond hectic. And, I mean, as a citizen, is it not your responsibility to be there to help the other person?
Well, when you say as a citizen, is it Ron Tarter's responsibility? See, here's the thing that I think is interesting. As you'll say, what you really mean is, isn't it Ron Tarter's responsibility? And I go and help him, and Tara, meanwhile, steps over the body, and you take my place in line.
First of all, as a singling? Decent person, I wouldn't do that.
Well, how do I know that? Listen, I've got the tape recording, Phil, because someone was videoing. You can listen very clearly here. And Tara, if you'll just hang on, listen very clearly, and you'll hear what happens.
Hey, move up! What? He could be dead. Move up!
All right, did you hear that, Phil?
Yeah, I heard that. He could be dead. Move up is what I heard you say to your son.
That's right.
Well, you played that tape. Why? Is that supposed to impress me?
Oh, my God. What about the lady that's on the phone?
That's a heartless person you really are. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to come across ugly and insulting, but my gosh.
I don't see how that... Did you hear the tape? The tape very clearly...
What did you say? He could be dead. Move up in line. You're worried about the price of an item than a man that could be dead.
No, ma'am. I said to my son, he's dead, move up.
If he'd been alive, what would you
have... Let's not want to do anything to help this man. Let's just get our place in line and make sure we get our gift. Who cares if a man just died? It doesn't matter.
Ron, I'm reading a book, and I don't mean to insult you. I'm reading a book right now called The Sociopath Next Door.
Don't start with that, Phil.
Now, I'm just going to tell you. Sociopaths cannot feel... They have no conscience. They simply see something like that, and they react, excuse me for saying this, Ron, but they react just the way you did.
And by the way, I am a doctor, and if Nancy Pelosi or whoever that woman was, who's the one that was bellyaching about not being called boxer, that's it. Would you mind calling me doctor? She gets to be called senator.
Yeah, that's fine, doctor, but I'm saying it again. You know...
Listen to how you're going. You're stumbling over... And this lady is not being helped. We're not giving her any information.
All right, look, Tara, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. All right, let me move on to another phone call here. I got Hal. Hello, Hal. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarter. Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Tarter, I've been
yes, sir.
On the show a little bit, and that's disgusting, man. What if it would have been your family laying on the ground? What if it would have been...
Well, if they were... I would help them. I would render assistance. But okay. I certainly wouldn't expect... I would help them and render assistance, but if I saw someone taking my place in line, I would at least say, hey, I'm helping out a family.
I understand that, and I think the fact that the babysitter was watching, that's irrelevant. The problem I have with everything is...
I'm glad you called her that because she's my ex-girlfriend. I hope she didn't hear that.
Well, there's no regard for life there. Where is your regard for life at? Where do you draw the line? What's more important, a human life or saving $50 on an Android phone?
Obviously a human life. A human life is much more important.
I would hope so.
Right. Here's the catch.
Okay.
It was no longer a human life. It was just basically dead.
Are you a medical doctor or?
No, I'm not. But I rolled the dice, and I was right.
You rolled the dice.
Well,
so in other words,
let me play the tape again,
and you'll hear this. Listen.
Hey, move up! He's dead. Move up.
That doesn't help your case much. I mean, that just kind of makes you look...
All right, you heard the tape, and I was right. He was dead because when they showed up, they said that he was cold by probably 20 minutes.
This man's right. It's not helping you.
I mean, it's just not helping you. It's just not helping you. I'm not saying you're a horrible person. I'm just saying you held a $50 savings or whatever it was higher than a man's life, and that's freaking disgusting in my book.
Well, you guys are wrong. I did not kill the guy. I didn't kill him.
Well, I understand
you didn't kill
the guy.
You know what
killed him? Take a poll over the radio right now to see how many people think you're a sicko for having this opinion. I guarantee you're...
I saw the car that he got out of because his wife was there, and she was upset. They led her back to the car. Virginia license plates. All right, now, you know why I think that's significant? That means that guy has been eating nothing but grease his whole life. And
oh, what?
Excuse me.
What does that mean?
Holy cow, you're a doctor?
That guy's from Virginia. You tell me he's not eating grease?
Oh, come on.
Where are you from?
I'm from Denver, Colorado.
So we like
Denver, Colorado
type now?
No, sir, I don't.
That's exactly what you're doing, and you're saying, oh, the guy's from Denver, the guy's from Virginia, so he's been eating nothing but fatty foods, and no wonder he had a stroke, and so it's not your responsibility. I'm going to go get my Android phone. That's what you're saying.
So I'm from Tennessee, so fried chicken and collard greens.
That's fantastic. I mean, yeah? You're eating collard greens? Or you got a college degree?
I mean, if I'm from Tennessee, we're going to start stereotyping people. I mean,
let me tell you this. Collard greens are a lot better for you. I would eat collard greens. They're a lot better for you.
This is not a food issue. The issue is
fried ham.
We're bouncing around the issue here.
The issue here is humanity. Listen, Hal, thank you for your call. Let's take a poll and we'll find out. 877-876 Phil.
Yeah, I got a poll for you. You want to take a poll?
Why don't you just, instead of making jokes, Ron, because I don't think that was an appropriate comment. Whether or not the man was from Virginia, he's been eating grease his whole life.
You said to me that you knew a girlfriend in Virginia, and she makes the greatest North Carolina barbecue you've ever had in your life. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
Well, then what are you talking about?
North Carolina barbecue is... What are you talking... North Carolina barbecue is not fatty. It's got the greatest... Get out of here. I'm not going to talk about food with you. 877-876-PHIL. It happens to be delicious. Let me go over here to, I think it's Keith. Keith, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'd like to make a couple of points. Number one,
yes, sir.
I am a parent. And what you did is totally irresponsible. When your wife finds out, you will lose custody. Number two.
Is he talking to me?
Yes, he's talking to you.
ABC, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. You're a doctor and you don't know that?
EBR, emergency pulmonary resuscitation.
Three. No, it's not emergency. It's cardio.
Yes.
CPR.
It's not emergency. You don't call that an emergency.
It's cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Cardiopulmonary.
You can't rename
R-E.
It.
I'm not renaming it, sir. I'm a doctor. We call it something different.
You are not a
citizen.
You're a
civilian.
An MD.
Civilian.
You are a doctor in you're a doctor in astronomy.
I'm not an MD, if that's what you're saying.
A death cannot be called by anybody except a doctor. An MD doctor.
Was I right? But was I right? Yes, I was.
It doesn't matter if you were right or not. You cannot call that man. You cannot say he's dead. No one without a MD license can say.
I was not making an official pronunciation. I was simply saying to my son and to my ex-girlfriend, move up. There's nothing you could do. He looks dead to me.
God. I mean,
Ron. What a callous person. You know, I don't understand.
If it's about me being
I ski patrolled for over 15 years. I guarantee I've lost a lot of places in line helping people.
You ski patrolled for 50 years? You lost a lot of... I don't understand
15 years.
That.
I lost a lot of places in line. People are more important than any item.
Well, wait a minute. If you're on ski patrol, you're not supposed to be standing in line anywhere.
Pardon me?
The gentleman is making a point. He's being... You understand what I'm saying? He's making a point about what he did in helping people.
If he's on ski patrol... He's not supposed to be standing in line anywhere. What does he mean he lost places in line?
He's a figure of speech.
I said I did ski patrol. I retired from it many years ago. But
right.
I still
so
have,
what,
I'm certified in CPR in case someone does have a heart
Here's
attack
the tape.
In front of me.
Here's the tape recording. All right? In this tape...
We've heard the tape, Ron.
Your ignorance. It just shows your
ignorance.
No, it
ignorance. Does not. You're going to hear me call it right here.
And I'm from Tennessee, and I don't use the term ain't.
Hey.
I lived in Colorado. I know a lot of people in Colorado.
He's
don't
dead.
Use the term ain't.
Believe me. He's dead. Move it up.
How do you know? How
All right,
do
you
know?
Hear that tape?
How do you know he's dead? Did you take the pulse?
Because his eyes were, because of the dead eyes.
His eyes
Excuse
were
me
closed?
For that, no, not they were not closed. They were wide open, and he had those dead eyeballs.
Oh, dead
Boy,
eyeballs.
You know,
so now dead eyeballs means you're dead? I've seen a lot of drunk people passed out with their eyes open.
No, wrong, different.
You don't
Looks
think so?
Totally different. Looks totally different. You've never even seen a dead.
You have no license.
The only, except when you look in the mirror.
Any death.
Okay.
The only dead man you ever see is when you look in the mirror.
You look like an idiot.
Yeah. It does. It makes you look really callous. Okay.
Callous.
Like a total
I
idiot.
Called this.
Third of all, you're going to lose. Your
Move it up. He's dead. He's cold. Right there. That's the fourth time I've played that tape.
And it still makes you look like a jackass.
You spent too much time alone.
What's that mean? I'm paddling it? Oh, so now you're telling me I masturbate? So I masturbate, is that it?
He didn't say that.
Stay there.
Well, sir, I happen to... I'm not going to comment on your habits, so don't start talking about whether I'm spending too much time with it. I mean, with myself.
You can comment on my habits all you want to. I can tell you, you're an idiot. You're a coward idiot that doesn't care about human life.
That's not my hobby.
Planet's good there. Go back to your bedroom and get off the phone.
That's not my hobby. My hobby, I don't have a hobby. I work.
I don't care what your hobby is.
I know what your hobby is.
You don't know what
I know what your hobby
is. How do you know what my hobby is?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Your hobby is Mrs. Thurman or four daughters.
Pardon me?
Okay.
Nothing.
All right, listen, thank you very much, sir, for your call. We got to take a break. I appreciate it. Our number 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Take a break. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us. It's a very emotional topic. If you're in line for a Black Friday sale and somebody collapses in front of you, do you step over them or do you render assistance? Well, Dr. Tarner had his son and his girlfriend not step over, but move around and get their place in line. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What I talking about? But I did that.
Yeah, but that tape makes you sound like a real jackball, man.
I don't understand how that is. I said he's dead, move up, and was I right? Yes, he was dead. Did I tell my son to move up? And I told my girlfriend to move up? Yes. Do I care about dead people? Not as much as I do about the living. If that makes me a criminal, I plead guilty. Go ahead, put the cuffs on me, mug me, put me in the shower with a bunch of guys that, you know, who like that kind of thing.
All right, I understand, Ron. And, you know, don't make yourself out to be a martyr here, okay? We're talking about a very tragic event at a Black Friday sale. I can't believe, you know, no wonder George Romero made that movie Dawn of the Dead about the zombies representing consumers. Because that's really what, you know, when you get right down to it, that was a pretty good movie, pretty good metaphor.
Wait a minute. You think that George Romero's movies are metaphors for something? You got to be kidding me.
I'm not saying he intended it that way, but a lot of people thought it was that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Nelson on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Nelson. You're on with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yes, I would like to say, first of all, he never seen a dead person. Second of all, what role model are you to your son? Telling your son to move up and not help somebody else? Are you serious? Look, I seen that person.
You did? What about the eyes?
I
right?
No.
Was I right about the eyes?
I'm in the military. I've been to war. I've seen a dead person. Just because somebody collapses doesn't mean they're dead. It could be they could be dehydrated. Have you seen somebody when they dehydrate? They just collapse. Are they dead? No.
Of course. Well, they look. You're only dead if the eyeballs are, have those dead. If you got the dead eyes.
No, no. Listen, a lot of people who collapse and have their eyeballs open. You don't know.
Right.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. I don't even think you've never seen a dead person before.
The eyeballs are open. If the eyes are open and the eyeballs are staring back dead, then you know they're dead.
What do you mean they're staring back?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah?
I just got one question
right.
for you.
Go ahead.
In order for you to determine if the person was dead, did you check them?
I personally didn't because I was at my car. But I looked
at
the guy.
Your car? So how can you tell from that far that the person was dead? I just, and your son tried to be a good American citizen and tried to help, and you're going to deny your son? What role model?
Because when he hit, when he went down, his head turned to the left, staring right at me. And I said,
you know,
yep, they're dead. Because I was looking.
When somebody loses consciousness, nobody knows where their head is going to turn. You need to tell your son sorry and tell your son that not everybody is like you, that don't like helping. So what if the person is dead? You should be a
I'm not going to tell.
You should be a good American. You should be a good American and show help. We help people that need help.
How do you help
a dead guy?
How do you help a dead guy?
How? Hello?
Yeah, you put him in a...
Honor that person. Be like, you know... Okay, he's
put
dead.
Him in a bag.
At least don't treat that person like a piece of dirt.
Exactly.
You don't know
exactly.
Whose father was that. You don't know
right.
whose father was that. You don't know whose brother was that. You don't know that. What about
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But what I said to my son, if you're going to step over the guy, do it with I guess you're going to be upset with me. If you're going to step over a man, do it with respect. And
how do you step over a man with respect? How do you do that?
Let me ask you something. Hey, you want to know something? When you step over somebody, you're showing your behind to them. You know, right? When you step over somebody, you're showing the behind. That's why in the military, we are so tight. Because if somebody dies, we treat them with more honor than they are alive. You know why? Because they sacrifice them. So, yes. And by you saying that person is it, by you saying that
dead,
that person eats a lot of grease, how you know he eats a lot of grease? How you know that?
Because he got out of a car with Virginia license plates, thank you. God.
Listen. Sir, I don't know where you come from, and I don't know what kind of doctor who gave you that license to be a doctor.
I'm an astrophysicist.
By who?
I'm an astrophysicist. I'm an astronomer.
He's an astronomer. He's not a medical doctor.
You know what you need to do? You know what you need to do? To be honest, you need to work like...
Did you hear the tape?
Like,
you heard my tape, right? The tape. Here it is. Hey, move up! Move up! Yeah, he's dead. Yes. All right, that was the tape of me telling my son to move up.
Are you serious? I mean, sir, to be honest with you, you make...
Phil Hendry.
He was going to call me a butthole.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
I know what I'll do.
Phil Hendry.
I got a great idea. Since nobody can seem to answer this question for me, you guys at home, can you hear the fan that I have on behind me? I am asking my engineers, I'm asking everybody, can you guys hear this fan? Because one of the things I don't want is to be working in a noisy room. It's distracting for you, my listeners. Can you hear the fan? Folks, if you can hear the fan, please tweet us at RealPhilHendry, at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, and maybe we can get an answer that way, if you can hear the fan or not. Because I don't know. I'm going to turn it off. I'm definitely afraid of too much noise in the room, you know. We have these marvelous, we've got a great studio here, but what we don't have, because we are down here at the El Pacifico, and that means we're just steps away from the marvelous Pacific Ocean with its beautiful sea breezes and all that baloney. We don't have air conditioning. It's kind of a dumb thing to have when you're that close to the marvelous sea breezes, blah, blah, blah. However, one of the things that we did not, take into consideration was we've got a lot of equipment in here, and equipment will tend to heat up a room. And so, you know, Bud, even though it's a nice, cool, beautiful, breezy, beachy, succulent day.
Yeah, well, all the equipment's really hot, especially those lights.
Yeah, the lights. We have lights for our video cast, which are big-ass lights, and they've got umbrellas that reflect the light, and so And that's why I'm wearing shades half the time on the video cast. People think it's because I think that I'm the coolest thing since, you know, canned beer. Well, maybe I do, but it's because of the brightness of the lights. Anyway, welcome back to our program. We thank Dr. Ron Tarner. And you know what, Tarner? You really are a sociopath, man. I was mentioning during the pre-show, and I was talking to Bud and to Robert about this, that I'm reading this book called The Sociopath Next Door. Man.
What is that anyway? Sociopath or something? What does that mean?
Sociopath is somebody with no conscience. Now, it doesn't mean that they're, ooh, I think I'm just going to be. They didn't decide this. They were born this way. Some of these people show sociopathic tendencies when they're very young. Killing animals, doing horrible things to animals, you know, torturing animals. They do this when they're young. They show no conscience toward living things. Now, that doesn't mean that that person's going to grow up to be a murderer. But what it does tell you, this is an abnormal personality. A lot of sociopaths can be directed gradually, slowly but surely in their lives to doing the right things, but they have to be reminded what the right things are, you know.
What are that one story you were talking about, that one guy?
Well, yeah, there's one guy, you know, in other words, to give an example of what a sociopath is, and these are people, by the way, folks, that 96% of the human race is fine. 4%, they say, 4% of the human race is sociopathic. Now, you may think that that's a really small number, but if you consider this, 3.5% are anorexic. And we've had cover stories from here to there about anorexic this and anorexic that and anorexic men and anorexic women. And are you eating too much and are you eating too little? And she looks like she's fat, but don't tell her that because then she'll become anorexic. I mean, my God, we're all over anorexia. And it's like a percentage rate of 3.5%, 3.45 to be exact. There are fewer people that get colon cancer than are sociopathic. And yet we've got cover stories about colon cancer, and Katie Couric has got a thing shoved up her you-know-what, and she's got a camera up there, and that's the... How did you ever think that you didn't want to see Katie Couric's you-know-what, especially when there's a camera there? And on and on and on and on and on it goes. Fewer people have colon cancer, fewer people are anorexic than are sociopathic. In other words, no conscience. In other words, lying, stealing, and creating problems in life far beyond their numbers, far beyond what you would think their numbers could cause. Give you an example. A woman, this is a true case study from the doctor's book. This doctor, Dr. Martha Stout, wrote this book, The Sociopath Next Door. A woman's working as a hospital administrator, and she's talking to a man who has up to that point been institutionalized for paranoid and delusional thinking. However, he's been making progress. His doctor has recommended that he be released from the facility and that he go home with the proper medication, the proper therapy. He's doing better. And one of the things that these institutions require is that one of the caseworkers or the administrators sign off on this. Well, this poor man has been sent into an office of a woman who's a sociopath. This woman, who is a hospital administrator, hates the doctor that this guy has been seeing, thinks that that woman is better looking than her, gets more attention from men. Are you ready for this? This isn't immaturity, folks. No. Don't think that this is, oh, she didn't grow up or she's got... No, she's a sociopath. She has no feelings. So when the man says to her, you know, my doctor said I can get out soon, I'm making progress, she says, really? That's not what she told me. She told me that you were actually reversing, getting worse, and that we may have to keep you here. Now, to a person who is paranoid and delusional, that woman knew that what she was saying was going to create a horrible, horrible reversal of this man's progress. In fact, it might even drive into catatonia. Well, what did happen to this poor guy? He had to be put not only back in the institution, he had to be put in a locked ward. She did that on purpose. Because she wanted to discredit this doctor. Because this doctor that she wanted to discredit was better looking, got all the men, had a nicer car, and was, in fact, really a doctor. This woman, who was an administrator in this hospital, had lied about being a doctor. lied. And people still thought she was a doctor. She didn't have any doctorate. She didn't have any credentials. She'd bullcrapped her way into the job. That's how good these... You think that some of these people that are calling themselves doctors out there are really doctors? If they're good enough, if they're psychopaths who can lie, look you right in the eye and lie, and you swear to God, man, you'd follow them anywhere. That's what this woman did, man.
God, are you kidding me, man? That guy, is he nuts still?
Is he nuts still? I don't know, man.
Man, that's low, man.
I said during the pre-show, I said, every day in America, somebody's getting their ass kicked. And I mean physically. Someone's getting beat up. I don't know how many beat-ups there are. I don't know how many people are getting their asses kicked. But I'd be willing to bet money that of all of the people in America that are getting their ass beat up on any given day, one half have got to be sociopaths that have stepped over the line one too many times, and someone has said, you know what, that's it. What are you talking about? That's it. Let's go. Boom! You know.
But a guy just lied too much.
Yeah. If you call a sociopath on his lies, you know, and I'm not saying kicking his ass is going to solve a problem, because what he's going to do is he's going to say, how dare... Sociopaths are never wrong. It's never their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. Anybody that intrudes or anyone that steps over the line with them, they see you as, why did you... Can you believe that guy kicked my ass? No, I got it in for him. Well, you know, so it goes. But I was reading this book, and I actually highlighted a part of the book that I showed to the... I put it right up to the camera during the pre-show. And where is that, bud?
It's on your iPhone where you put the Kindle, where you get kindled.
It kindled?
What do you mean a Kindle, man? That's a Kindle.
It ain't called Kittle.
What's it called?
Kindle. Kittle. I got it on my Kittle. I got it on my Kindle, Sociopath Next Door. But the highlighted portion is here, and I will read as follows. In fact... Oh, boy, where are my glasses? In fact, a refusal to see the results of one's bad behavior as having anything to do with oneself, consistent irresponsibility, in the language of the American Psychiatric Association, is a cornerstone of the antisocial personality diagnosis. So if you know someone who consistently is not wrong, consistently is not responsible, consistently didn't do something, they're a sociopath. They can't take responsibility, man. It's impossible. So here's another one. Here's another test, okay?
Yeah.
The guy's driving to work, and he's on his way to a very important meeting, and he suddenly remembers my dog. I left my dog without any food and any water, and I'm going to be gone overnight because I have to get to this meeting. Then I got to catch a plane. I'm going to go to San Francisco, wherever the hell, and I got an overnight meeting, and I forgot to water my dog, and I forgot to give my dog food.
Yeah, he didn't turn around. He's a sociopath.
Well, hold on. He says, I can't do it. I cannot do that. I you know how much money I spent on that dog? That dog has its papers. That dog is, what do they call it, you know, American Kennel Club. I mean, he's got his papers. That dog's worth $2,400. I bought that dog as a puppy. I am turning around. I've got to feed that dog. He's going to risk not making his meeting. He may even risk missing his plane, although probably not. But he's going back. He's going to feed that dog. He's going to give that dog water. Because what are people going to think of him if he comes home and his dog is dead? Now, what do you think of that guy?
What?
Do you think he's a sociopath or not?
No, I'd say he's not, because he's coming back taking care of the dog.
Yeah.
You're wrong. He is a sociopath.
Why?
Because of the reasons that he's going back to help the dog. He's not going back because he cares about the dog. You would, and I would, and Robert, we would go back, and we would say, well, at least me and Robert, I don't know about you, bud.
I'd go back because I love the dog.
Okay. We would go back and say, oh, my God, poor Fluffy. Or whatever the hell the dog's name is.
My dog's name's Jesse.
Fine. Poor Jesse. I can't leave my poor Jesse. That poor guy, he's not going to have any water or food. That poor doggy. I'm going to turn around and help my buddy. He's my dog. That's what a normal person with a conscience says. A sociopath will say the following thing. I can't leave that dog without food and water. People are going to think that I'm a scumbag. They're going to think that I don't take care of... That's going to be bad for me. My image is going to be hurt. Or I'm not going to leave that dog without... If it dies, I'm out $2,400. That dog cost me a lot of money when I got... You know? This guy's thinking of every single solitary reason not to leave the dog, except for the basic human reason, which is, I can't let that dog die. That's my dog. Now, it seems normal to you guys, but I'm telling you, a sociopath, when he hears you and me say that, he goes, what are you talking about? I mean, he's my dog. What do you mean he's your dog? Yeah, I know. Or he will say, yeah, I've heard this before. This is the way these people talk, so I better kind of, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that too, yeah.
So you're saying that they don't even know what it feels like to have a feeling?
Exactly. They don't know what it feels like, unless they feel sorry for themselves. Unless they feel sorry for themselves, all right? It's a great book, man. Check it out. Now, I don't ordinarily, you know, go on about books because, frankly, all I read are comic books. But
what's it called again?
It's called The Sociopath Next Door, Dr. Martha Stout. She's in Boston. And by the way, I want to get her email because I have a couple. There's only one thing about her book that bothers me. She's going on about, yes, you know, how killing is actually not a normal human thing to do, that through various studies they prove that we don't want to kill and that we avoid killing, and she used statistics from the military. She didn't exactly do it 100% because she was taking stats from a time when there was conscription, meaning the draft, and now there isn't. So we have soldiers who have a conscience who go to war because their conscience tells them to defend the country. So in any event, that aside, it's a pretty good book. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, some news to talk about here. What's with Kane, man? Now Kane's got a woman that he had an affair with for 13 years? We should be so lucky. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're done. Oh, my God, we're done with our Cyber Monday. You better change that, bud.
Gotta get on the website and change it out.
Yep, Monday is done, so it's now Tuesday, so just remove it, dude. You don't have to do anything other than just freaking remove it. Okay, bud? There you go. Just punch that button. There you go. So our Cyber Monday promotion is over with on the website, but nonetheless, you can still go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and pick up your Phil stuff. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, and of course, Christmas is always right around the corner, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, even in January, right around the corner.
You could say it's in June, it's right around the corner.
It's just right around the corner. You know, yes, today is the first day of summer. Christmas is right around the corner. So get yourself your Phil Henry gear. You go to our website, go to the shop, get a hat, get a shirt, get, oh, the Ted's of Beverly Hills, which I'm wearing it on the video cast right now, our Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, which I, by the way, I got to tell my crew, Dan and Fred, your shirts are in the mail, and they are, seriously. We want to, and there's our, we want to put our meat in your mouth is the slogan. So you can get that. You can get our best of CDs, soon to be made into downloads. That's right. That's coming to our website. So you'll be able to download our best of legacy material. And we also have our coffee mugs and shot glasses. So it's all over there at philhenryshow.com. In the news, and there's been, it's mostly political stuff. The Black Friday stuff we dealt with there with Dr. Ron Tarner and his poor son and his ex-girlfriend. What was that about anyway?
Yeah, he's talking about his ex-girlfriend. She's still hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's not for nothing I went into talking about sociopaths after having Ron on the air, and my ex-girlfriend still wants to hang around. Well, if that's the case, then she can babysit my son. What human being would have so little self-respect? Well, I guess it happens. I guess it happens.
You mean to tell me some people are going to do that?
Some people are that pathetic, yeah. Some people are that pathetic. You know, they are used. They allow themselves to be used. They think they can be used, that if they do that, the person will love them. They don't know that the person that's using them is just going to keep on using them. It'll never end. Speaking of being used, poor Herman Cain. No, anyway, an Atlanta-area woman said in a television interview aired on Monday that she had a 13-year affair with Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain. Ginger White told Fox 5 Atlanta, "It wasn't complicated. I was aware that he was married. and I was also aware I was involved in a very inappropriate situation or relationship. However, I did know that someday I'd be able to make plenty of money off of this guy if he ever ran for president. She didn't say.
She didn't say.
No, I just made that up. I made up that last part. She told the station the physical relationship ended 13 years and it's a purely physical relationship? Bull crap. She thinks that she's doing him a favor. No 13-year relationship's purely physical. Well, anyway, she told the station the physical relationship ended 8 months ago. Isn't that convenient? About when Mr. Kane announced his presidential run. Did he dump her? Did he say, okay, baby, that's it. That's the end of that. Even before the Atlanta station broadcast its report, Mr. Kane, 65 years of age, which they point out here in the Wall Street Journal because, go man, 13-year relationship. Mr. Kane appeared on CNN denying the claims of the woman who is now in her mid-40s. He said he knew her, but that the two didn't have a sexual relationship. Now, folks, now what's going on now? She said she had sex with this guy for 13 years. He said, nope, didn't happen. Now, what is, you know, what we've learned is the following. From Clinton, we learned this. I didn't have sex with her. Well, it was oral. Well, okay, but I thought you guys were talking about, well, wait a minute, man. There isn't a human being that I know. There isn't a human being on the face of the earth that I know, and I don't want to speak for everybody, that doesn't consider oral sex to be sex, that doesn't consider getting oral sex from another woman cheating on your wife. That is just as flat out clear as a bell. Anybody that doesn't think so, you may not think it's bad. You may not think it's wrong. You may not think, but I'm telling you right now, it's cheating on your old lady. Don't worry about it. Don't give me this, you know, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. And when he laid that out, and everybody, you know, of course, the kids then, you know, all of our kids were, well, if that's what the president thinks, I mean, you couldn't have done more damage. It's sex, Jack. Now comes this. She says she did. He says that he didn't. Are we going to be treated to another one of these? Well, if you're talking about oral sex, well, No, man. You can't play that. We've already been down that road. We already know that that's sex. Or do we?
I don't know, man. You, just like you said, a lot of people don't think so.
They get everybody thinks so, but just except for a little kid.
The kids are the ones that went out and said, well, it's not sex. I can do it because the president said, and I mean, that was the damage that was done there, I think. There's not an adult. I honestly don't believe there's an adult that got past the third grade that doesn't understand that that is an actual sex act, and that is engaging in a sex act, whether you're a passive recipient or not.
What do you mean, passive?
Well, exactly. So, he says, no, it didn't happen. I knew her, but we didn't have a sexual relationship. Are you ready for this? The American public is tired of dirty politics and smear tactics, as evidenced by their tremendous outpouring of support for me, my family, and my campaign this past month, Mr. Kane said in a statement. Mr. Kane's lawyer, Lynn Wood, said in a statement that an accusation of private alleged consensual conduct between adults is not a proper subject of inquiry by the media or the public. Wait a second. An accusation of private alleged consensual... Okay, we'll be back with more of this. Falderall, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Maybe it's a sociopath.
Could be.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, you guys say you've got him on the line.
Well, I said he's near the Bob Bakian.
I know it's Bob Bakian. Is he at Herman Cain's residence, or where is he?
No, all I know, he said it was someplace near where Herman Cain was, and there might be the lady with him.
There might be the lady with him. Get him on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob Bakian reporting. So we are hold on for just a minute. I don't hear the music.
I don't have the eyewitness music is not playing, because I wanted to get some information.
Well, what information do you need? Phil, if I'm going to go on the air, I've got to have the eyewitness music playing so that I can give you the report. Otherwise, I can't. This is Bob Baking reporting.
What did he do?
Hung up.
Get him back on the line. What's this bull crap? He's got to have the music playing.
He won't do his report unless he's got the news music.
That sounds like so much horse dung.
Bob, yeah, I got to put you on. Mr. Henry said, I know Mr. Henry said got to be on the thing.
Bob Baking here, Phil. And I don't hear the music, so I'm...
What is he doing? He's just hanging up?
Yeah, I guess he's hanging up. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Bob, well, don't, you're not on the air. Hold on. Are you going to put a music on? What? Oh, yeah? Yeah, I seen that. Well, no, we're going to go to D.C. and
will you hold on for a minute and get him on the line?
Wait a minute. Phil wants to talk to you.
Bob, thank you, Phil.
Hey, listen, can I ask you a question?
Not without the music.
All right, well, put his freaking music on then.
You gonna let that guy tell you what to do?
Yes, I'm gonna let him tell me what to do. If that, put it on there, will you? Thank you, God. Bob, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Bob Baking reporting here from the site of an alleged sighting between Herman Cain and a woman that he supposedly is having an affair with the last 13 years. We haven't seen any such sighting so far, but he is inside having dinner with a woman that is not his wife. We don't know who that could be. It could be Candy Ellison as his campaign manager. It could be one of the people that... Okay, there's no music. There's no music. No music.
Why'd the music turn off?
What? I thought...
Don't think. Just keep the music on so this jackass will give me the rest of the report. Now you got to call him back, right?
Yeah. Done one of those radio phones, too, because it's kind of tough.
Well, that's great. So when you hang up on the guy...
I didn't hang up. Bob, here, listen. Is that okay? Is that good? All right.
All right, anyway, Bob Baking reporting here. And again, Phil, we did see Herman Cain as he was entering the restaurant.
Bob, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Phil.
By the way, what was that?
When I hear the music, I feel as if I'm in my safe place.
Okay. Herman Cain, you said, was in the restaurant with a woman that you said might be his campaign manager and might not. Is he there?
No.
Why?
The music ran out.
If the music runs out, hit it again. I can't believe I got a freaking moron like that that's got to have his music playing. If the music runs out, hit it again, bud, okay?
All right, you want me to play it now?
You might as well have it rolling so that it'll be there so he'll feel comfortable. Yeah.
Bob, yeah, Bob, here it is.
Oh, thank God. This is Bob Baking reporting. So what was your question, Phil?
Is Herman Cain, is he the woman that he was with? Not his wife, but not necessarily a girlfriend?
That is correct, Phil. From what we understand, Herman Cain could very well have been at dinner this evening with one of his campaign aides, Candy Ellison, who's been with him for quite some time. However, it could have been this woman that he's trying to get together with. And turn the music off because I don't want to be on the air.
What happened?
You got to know. I think he lost his place.
Yeah, I got embarrassed, so he just won't be on.
That's the last time I used that guy, okay? You know?
But he's got really good information and everything.
Oh, sure he does. He's got really good information so long as there's music playing. No, man. I can't play that. That's too weird. Way too weird. Don't tell me.
Yeah, Bob, just one more time. One more time. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Yeah, Mr. Henry's here. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Just one more time. See? I got the music. Ain't that the music what you want to hear? Okay. And go!
This is Bob Baking reporting here from the Traffic Mobile 5 as Herman Cain was seen going into a restaurant with a woman that may not be his wife. Yes, it may not be his wife, but then again, it might not be any big deal at all because it could be someone that works for his campaign staff. It could very well be a campaign staffer that he's simply taking out to dinner. It could be a man, for all we know. It could be a man in a dress. We haven't really looked at that. Herman Cain could be going out with a man wearing a skirt. So we have no real idea as to whether or not Herman Cain at this time is being unfaithful to his wife
or he's simply being unfaithful to his own sexual orientation and trying something different. Then Bob Bacon reporting. Ah, that feels so good, that music.
I don't want him on the air anymore because I'm afraid he's going to have an orgasm.
You're going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah. So Herman Cain is got, you know, the cat's got some problems. What can I tell you? But making good pizza ain't one of them, because I'll tell you right now, I'm about to get myself a slice right now.
Yeah, you heard Godfather pizza's good?
I don't know. I've never had it. Anyway, the woman claims she had a 13-year relationship with Herman Cain, and he says, no, she didn't. And the lawyer said, and here's the thing that drives me out of my mind, the lawyer, Lynn Wood, said in a statement, an accusation of private alleged consensual conduct between adults is not a proper subject of inquiry by the media or the public. So in other words, Herman Cain says, no, I did not have a sexual relationship with her, but his lawyer is hedging his bets by saying an accusation of alleged conduct is not. So in other words, if he did, it's nobody's business. I'm beginning to think maybe it isn't, you know?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I'm beginning to think maybe it's just none of. I'm beginning to think that the world has, the world has changed that much, where a guy who is a powerful man having a sexual affair, you know, being unfaithful to his wife, I guess that just doesn't matter, does it? I mean, I hate to say it, you know.
The only thing, say a man that like Eisenhower, all them have women, you know.
I know. I mean, I. At what point do we just admit it to ourselves? At what point do we just throw up our hands and we say, well, that's just the way it is? And does it reflect badly on a guy? I mean, you know what I'm saying? In other words, if Eisenhower had a girlfriend and FDR had women and, you know, Kennedy had women, and God knows, we might as well just go ahead and throw in all of them there. I don't know.
Think Reagan did?
I don't know. Probably. I know that we're supposed to believe that him and Nancy were just so tight. I got money that says Reagan had relationships. Yes, I believe that Reagan did.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I mean, Nancy Reagan, they was in love and everything.
Yes. I know that there's a certain myth, a mythology that we're supposed to buy into. And then there's the reality. There's the mythology, there's the feel-good, and then there's the reality. Feel good is invented so that we all have a nice narrative that we can believe in about our presidents and about our country. But as we get, you know, as we move down the line in terms of history and maturity as a people and as a nation, and we recognize, well, let's face it, these guys had affairs. Going all the way back to the beginning of the country, they had affairs. I'm not talking about Washington. But we know that in Washington's cabinet, we know that Alexander Hamilton got hung out to dry. He was cheating on his wife during a particular summer when they were out of town. And then, you know, all the way on down the line, maybe that's just the way it is, man. And you can't change it, and it'll never be different, and we might as well accept it. Is that it? You know?
Yeah, but you vote for a guy like that, then you're basically saying marriage don't mean nothing.
Well, that's true, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. You got to at least, you know, say marriage means something, and at least come out and say, well, everybody may be doing it, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to vote for it.
I know, but I mean, when are we going to admit to ourselves and to everybody that there's something fundamentally wrong, not with marriage, there's something wrong with the way we view marriage. There's something wrong with the way, I don't know. You know that they say that any man and woman that have been married for 50 years, and there are people who have been married for 50 years. I believe that this is the statistic. If not, please forgive me. You can check this. If you've been married for at least 50 years, odds are, and it's a sure bet, the man has been unfaithful at least once.
Well, 50 years? Who's married for 50 years?
A lot of people are. If you think about it, you get married in your 20s, and now you're in your 70s, sure, you get married for 50 years. It's a sure bet the man's been unfaithful. Now, I don't know that that's true. I'm just quoting one particular study. Now we have all of this stuff about sexual impropriety, and what is it all about? It's about powerful men. Henry Kissinger very famously said once, and maybe you guys know this and maybe you don't, it was quoted in the movie Nixon, and it was something that Kissinger did say, when he was asked by Mao Zedong how a fat man got so many women. And Kissinger said something along the lines of power is the most, what was it? Power is an aphrodisiac, meaning position of power, men who are powerful, that's an aphrodisiac for women. So now you take a guy who's a successful businessman, who's running for president of the United States. This is some rarefied air. This is a guy that's got the national eye. He has the this is something that for any woman, and you know that women are nest builders. What does that mean? They build the nest. They want a solid foundation for the nest, for the eggs. Even if they're, you know, beyond childbearing years, it's still women want the nest, and they want someone that's going to help them build that nest. That's what the man does. He has a position of some power in this world where he can build one holy hell of a nest, you know. A guy like Herman Cain's going to be attractive to women. John Kennedy. I don't give a damn. Barack Obama. You name it. And every last one of these guys, man, every time we open up a history book, we have some new version of what the hell happened. Now we got Eisenhower was cheating on Mamie. Now we got Roosevelt. Now we got God knows who. So maybe there's something wrong with the way we're looking at marriage. Maybe we're all a bunch of chumps. Maybe we're all a bunch of children.
I don't know, man. You say it's impossible to be faithful to a lady.
I like the way you put that, bud. Impossible to be faithful to a lady. I don't know. I'm just saying that the more I read about this stuff, the more I hear, the more that I'm exposed to the actual news, you know, and I don't know any more than that because I've been married one time in my life, and I was faithful to my wife the whole 9 years. But you know what? That was only 9 years. That was only 9 years. 20 years? 30 years? 15 years? I don't know. You got me. All right, we'll be back here with our concluding segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What do we got here? Newt Gingrich? Nah. NATO? Nah. Romney? Nah. Egypt? Oh, God. What else? What else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Conrad Murray's mother pleads for a light sentence? Maybe. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Not kidding you, man. I was telling the guys, you know, Bob Bakian, he can't go on the air unless he hears the following thing, right? Do that again, bud, will you? And get the sound up.
Sorry.
Bob Bakian can't go on the air unless he hears this. All right. Now, to most of us, this sounds like a news theme, doesn't it? But I was telling my crew that this is not a news theme, that this is music from the movie Cool Hand Luke. Now, we all, generations of people have grown up with this music as news music. Very few people identify this as music from the tarring the road scene in Cool Hand Luke, but it is. And the first time I saw the movie, Cool Hand Luke, I went, wait a minute, that's the news music. I don't think it was the first time I saw the movie, it was many years later. I said, wait a second. I heard this. Now, here is the actual scene. Thank you, Johnny Bean. Johnny sent this to us. This is from the movie Cool Hand Luke. This is as they're tarring the road. And if you remember the film Cool Hand Luke, it's Paul Newman and George Kennedy and all those guys are on a chain gang in wherever the hell it is, Georgia. And their job is to go out and tar the road. And Luke has said, let's haul ass, let's tar this road and do it really fast, and we'll have all this time left. So here's the music. But, told you.
That's the end of it.
So that was, you know.
I thought that was like a news theme.
It was a news theme. It's from Cool Hand Luke. And some of these comments, people saying, wait a second, that's the news music from the Australian National News. Yeah, I'm sure it's from the Australian National News. And somebody else saying, wait, that was the news, that was the Eyewitness News with Roger Grimsby. That's if you lived in New York, I guess. If you lived in L.A., it was the news theme from Jerry Dunphy and Christine Lund.
That's what I remember.
Well, right. I mean, any eyewitness news team, that's what they use. So, now, it's interesting, in these times that we live in with sampling, you know what I'm saying?
What about fair use?
Well, yeah, fair use. Fair use. I don't know what fair use. Fair, that ain't fair use. That's like you. That's boom, boom. That's over and over and over and over again, man. That's you're using that music. They must have got the rights from the filmmakers. I got money that says they had to have gotten the rights from the filmmakers. There's no way, because they've been using that music for 40-plus years on news. Yes, we're tarring a road, but we're also doing the news. I'm Cool Hand Luke. You know.
Ain't that the movie with I Can Be a Nice Guy or I Can Switch?
I Can Be a Nice Guy or I Can Switch?
No, I Can Be a Guy or I Can Switch.
No, it isn't.
I Can Be a Guy or I Can Switch.
No, it's not I Can Be a Guy or I Can Switch. It's, it's I Can Be a Nice Guy or I Can Be a Real Mean Son of a Bitch.
That's it. I remember that.
I Can Be a Guy or I Can Switch. That's the guy. That was Strother Martin, a great actor, who great character actor. And he was the chain gang. He was the head of the... He was the warden for the thing.
Yeah. Hey, he was the warden. He's had a man get rabbit in his blood.
Yeah. He would say, now when a man gets rabbit in his blood... Because Cool Hand Luke, played by Paul Newman, his mother died. And so they stuck Luke in the box overnight. They stuck him in the sweat box because they were afraid he was going to get rabbit in his blood and split, try to go see his mother, you know, go to his mother's funeral. Or just split, just get out of the camp, you know. So they put him in the box overnight, and you know, everybody thought that was pretty cruel because, you know, the guy just lost his mother, and now they're going to stick him in the box. But they were doing it because Strother Martin goes, "Now a man loses his mother, that man get rabbit in his blood."
You say it like that?
Yeah, that's how he says it. And just a bunch of junk, you know. And you know, also that was the very famous line. What we have here is a failure to communicate. That comes from Cool Hand Luke. All right, why did we get sidetracked by that dung?
You were playing that, man. I want to find all about that. That blew me away, man.
Why does that blow you away?
Because they didn't pay for it or nothing.
I don't know. Something tells me they paid for it. Like I said, there's a certain law. There's a certain part of the law that covers sampling now. Sampling is something along the lines of less than 10 seconds worth of music. You can use it. It's called fair use. I think, and then, but that is an extended piece of music from that film, and I don't think that that's covered under fair use, and they use it over and over and over again. So I think what happened was some kind of a deal was cut with the filmmakers. I don't know. In clearing Occupy site, time is on LAPD side, Chief says. On Monday, city leaders take a measured approach in efforts to close down City Hall encampment. That's right, Occupy LA today, or I should say Monday was the day they were going to go in with baseball bats and billy clubs swinging and bust head. No, I'm kidding.
They'd be so bitching if they did.
No, it wouldn't. After a flurry of eviction threats, street protests, and court maneuvering, Occupy LA remained standing on the City Hall Monday evening, prompting debate about the caution displayed by city leaders seeking to avoid violent clashes seen in other cities. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck said on Monday he remains committed to the restrained approach, noting that the encampment has shrunk by about 150 tents in recent days, and that police have so far managed to avoid aggressive confrontation with protesters. Officers will clear the camp when they can, do it effectively and efficiently, and with minimal force. Time is on the department's side, said Beck. You know, one of the things about tough economic times is we have people camping out places to make a statement. And I told you guys about the bonus marchers in Washington, the World War I veterans. And we've had homeless people camping out when times were difficult for homeless people. And we've had a lot of campouts, you know. In fact, I camp out when times are good because that's the only time that I can afford a campsite, you know.
You gotta bribe the guy.
You do have to bribe the guy because there's no campsites left in California in the summertime. All right, we'll be back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Be a part of the Phil Henry Show extended family. Be a part of our first and second generations of family members. And, of course, pick up your Phil Henry gear at the Phil Henry Show shop. Until tonight, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.